Amen. If you would please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew in the New Testament. Mark that spot, Matthew chapter 11, if you would please. And then when you found that, or if you're a really fast turner, you can just go ahead and go to our text, but then you may get behind. So it's good to be back. Good to be back at Beacon Baptist Church, and grateful certainly for this place and what it's meant in my life and my family's life for many, many years. I'm glad to be back. It's a different, let me tell you something, it's a different angle. Our platform is not this high. And so I've been used to, for the last year and a couple years before that at another church, I just realized I haven't been up here in a while, it seems like, anyway. So I'm getting used to it. I'm letting you in on what's going on in my brain. Are you scared yet? That's the question. I am a little bit. Mark chapter 6 is our text, if you would. Find that in your Bibles. Mark chapter 6. And we'll read just a couple of verses tonight, and then we'll pray. I'm trying to be a blessing to you tonight. Certainly don't have anything new to tell you, but I hope it'll be an encouragement to you, something that I've studied. In fact, I brought this message to our church Sunday morning there right outside Raleigh, North Carolina, and God's really blessing. In the year, we're grateful to have Daniel and Samantha, and they're doing a great job. In fact, Brother Daniel's preaching right now for me, and I know he's doing a great job. And so we're grateful, certainly, for all of God's blessings. Mark chapter 6, and if you would follow along, we're going to read just a couple of verses. We'll begin in verse 30. We're going to look at several passages here in this chapter, so I hope you follow along. The Bible says in Mark chapter 6 and verse 30, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately." If you would please notice the very last three words that the Lord said in verse 31. They're words that I thought a lot about in recent weeks, where the Bible says, the Lord Jesus says, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place," note this, "and rest a while." Tonight I want to speak on that subject, those three words, rest a while. And exactly what does that mean for us as God's people? Father, we thank you again for your word and for how it speaks to our hearts. We're thankful for this opportunity, Lord, this church that we have tonight to look into your word. We're thankful for the promise, Lord, that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you're in our midst. And so because of your presence, Lord, we're excited about what you can do through this time that we have together. Please bless it. Use it for thy glory. Strengthen us, for we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You know, one of the themes that we don't often think about in the Bible is that of rest. We generally have the mindset, at least it seems like I always had this mindset, that you should just go, 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 go in the Lord's work, never really get tired. And if you do get tired, you just need to, you know, get a breath or something and continue on, just always full throttle. And while that is true, there are times where the Bible says that we ought to take a moment periodically and rest a while. Think about this. This is not something that the Apostle Paul is encouraging this church to do. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ himself was saying. In Mark chapter 6, I mean, really, they haven't been at it all that long. God's people, really. The Lord Jesus, of course, with his disciples. I mean, his entire earthly ministry was only 3.5 years. That's not very long. But during that time, here in Mark chapter 6, the Lord Jesus comes to his disciples and he says, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." So tonight I want to know a couple things about rest that are truly practical, but I trust will be beneficial, that we all need to be reminded of from time to time in God's work. Number one, we need to note that rest is necessary. Rest is necessary. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus says, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." The question is this morning, and maybe you're thinking, Brother Charlie, when is it that we need to rest? Well, the Bible says, we see in the context, first of all, we ought to rest when news is discouraging. Look back with me at verse 25 of the same chapter. We're going to work our way back towards the beginning of the chapter. So hope you'll follow along. Mark 6, note verse 25. We're familiar with the story. It'll be familiar to you as we read. The Bible says in verse 25, "And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. The king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Wow, that's discouraging. I mean, if you think about it, here's John the Baptist. This is one of the great Christians. The Bible says men born among women, he was the greatest. I mean, an incredible, incredible man, ministry. I mean, he was a unique individual. And what was he beheaded for here in the text? We know he spoke out against Herod, who, by the way, was a tyrant. And in this case, he was an adulterer. He married his brother's wife. I'm sure that caused some flack at the family reunions. But so that's what he did. And John spoke out against that, told him it wasn't lawful for him to have her. Herod didn't like that, so he imprisoned him. But he kind of liked John. At least he intrigued him such that he didn't want to kill him. He wanted to keep him around so he could hear him preach periodically, but he wanted to keep him in prison under wraps. Well, eventually, Herodias, his wife that was his brother's wife, tricked him. And by and by, when Herod, in the lust of that moment there, he promised this girl something that he really didn't really, at least he was hoping it wasn't this, right? I'm sure he didn't even think that this might be the case, and it made him sorry. But he followed through, and he executed John the Baptist, and he did that. Well, what the Bible says in verse 29, this is really what's pertinent tonight. The Bible says, when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Boy, that's got to be disheartening, doesn't it? I mean, John the Baptist, you've heard him say over and over, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," preaching repentance, the kingdom of heaven that was coming, and paving the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. And now they hear this news that one of the heroes of the faith at that time, John the Baptist, has been beheaded in a really terrible way. And so the disciples, they're hearing about it. They know that this is what the current events around. Can I ask you a question? Have current events ever discouraged you in your life? I think they probably have, right? Most of us look around and we see what's going on in our country. Maybe we see what's going on even in our own church pews at times. We see these things, and guess what? It can get discouraging. Maybe times are tough at your work, and it's taxing to be there. You know, it's when those times come, folks, when discouraging news is there, don't quit, just rest a while. You don't have to throw in the towel. You don't have to quit when times get tough. So many do, by the way. You don't have to. Just learn to rest a while, and God will give you the strength to go on. Rest, first of all, is necessary when the news is discouraging. Number two, when the task is demanding. The Bible says in verse 7 of Mark 6, "And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no script, nor bread, nor money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them." You know, this is a unique opportunity that the Lord's disciples had in this moment. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus commissioned them. He sent them out two by two to go into various cities and preach repentance. Preach, obviously, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, reminding us, folks, that there is just one message that we have to give. It is truly simple. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, "We preach Christ crucified. I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." The task is simple, but the task can be demanding. For these disciples, I'm sure it was a difficult time. I mean, notice what the Lord Jesus tells them. He says, first of all, don't take any script. In other words, don't take any books, study materials, don't have any of that stuff. No bread. That's a deal breaker for me. You know, the hardest diet in the world, I'm convinced, is a low-carb diet. That's why I look like this. I'm just being real tonight. It's tough, right? No bread. That's where I get off the bus. He says no purse, no money in their purse. That's where Brother Josh gets off the bus. Actually, he doesn't have to worry about that. That verse already applies to him right there. But you know, that's a difficult thing, right? No, don't have any money in your bank. No money in your wallet. Don't carry any food. No books or study materials. Wear sandals and don't even take two coats. That's a lot of rules. And then you say, just to put the icing on the cake, well, Lord, how's it going to go when we're out there? You know the piece of advice he gives them? What to do when people reject him. It's not like how this is, you know, if you gave this message to your modern church building conference today, people would file on out the doors. Lord Jesus tells them, you know what, if you stay, if they receive you in a house, stay there. He says, if they don't, then when you just leave and shake the dust off, and guess what? It's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Wow. But, who likes to be rejected, right? Nobody wants to be rejected. We knock on people's doors. You know, in South Florida here in Jupiter, I actually had a garage door slammed in my face. You know, that's unique. That doesn't happen a lot of places. Where I'm serving now, have the privilege of serving, they're fairly kind, at least they most of the time. But you do have to be careful of the shotguns. We got a lot of folks that have and like to use shotguns, and so if you hear a click, we just move on to the next door. You learn these things when you're in the ministry for a while. The task can be demanding. I mean, here, these people, they had been, he says, you know what, it's not if they're going to reject you. He tells them something that's going to happen. When it does, this is how you respond. What a difficult thing, folks. And no doubt it was tiring. All this walking and not knowing where your next meal is, that's a nerve-wracking thing. Tiring emotionally, all these people's needs. And they're working at meeting each one of these needs, preaching to these folks and healing these folks. And folks, that gets tiring. But you know what? What they needed to do was they didn't need to quit. They just needed to rest a while. Needed to rest a while and then continue on. Rest, folks, is necessary. When news is discouraging, when the task is demanding, number three, when friends are disbelieving. The Bible says in verse 2 of Mark 6, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. What a sad state of affairs is taking place here in the very first story that we find in Mark chapter 6. The Lord Jesus has returned to his hometown. You know what? Fully intending to do mighty works. The Bible says that he could there do no mighty work. Why? Because of their unbelief. Not because of his unwillingness, but because of their unbelief. They held back the blessings of God in their city. What an amazing thing. And why? Because they looked around, they saw, well, we know his brothers, Judas, Simon, all these guys, we know them, all of his sisters, we know who they are. Who's this guy? What's so special about him? Why does he have this wisdom? He's not been classically educated. He doesn't have any seminary degree. Who is this guy? Well, he's the Son of God. But they missed it. Missed it entirely. The Lord Jesus realized something, that a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, his own people. What a sad commentary that is. The Bible says he could there do no mighty work. Can you imagine how discouraging that must have been for the Lord Jesus himself in his humanity, of course? In his 100% man state, can you imagine how discouraging that must have been? Again, nobody likes to be rejected by strangers. I mean, that's uncomfortable for many, many people. But to be rejected by your own family, by your own friends, by your own neighborhood, so to speak. These were people that knew him, that knew his family very, very well. You know what? They were completely disbelieving of him and of his message and his mission. You know what, though? The Lord Jesus didn't quit. He just learned the secret. That is to rest a while. Rest, folks, is necessary. The Lord Jesus says, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Let's say tonight, first of all, rest is necessary. I want to say number two, rest is secondary. Look with me at verse 33, if you would please. Verse 33 of Mark chapter 6. The Bible says, and the people saw them departing. By the way, they're on their way to a desert place now. They're on their way on vacation, Jesus and his disciples. Verse 33, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is the desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. They say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. When they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. Rest is secondary. Lord, I thought you were on vacation. You know what happened, though? His vacation got interrupted, really before it even got started. Rest was necessary. He and his disciples were on their way to that desert place, probably the place that they thought was far away from where anybody else might be. If there's a place in the world that you ought to be able to rest, it ought to be a desert place, right? But you know what? The Lord Jesus, what happened is the people saw that they were leaving, and they chased them down. They ran around. And the Lord Jesus didn't get upset. He didn't get angry. He didn't rebuke those people. You know what he did? He just ministered to them. He treated them like they were first. Rest was necessary, folks, but rest is secondary, and it's secondary specifically to what God has called us to do. You know, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why, that was what Jesus Christ's mission on this earth is. That's what it was. And folks, what's important for that task? Would it be more of a vacation, or would it be more ministering to people? Helping them to understand the gospel, to see the Messiah working, leading people to himself, teaching them. The Bible says he taught them many things. Rest, folks, is secondary. It's secondary, number one, to what he saw. I love the verse in verse 34 where the Bible says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. Lord Jesus, he saw much people. Note in the middle of verse 34 where the Bible says, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. What a picture. Sheep without shepherd. You know, sheep without a shepherd they really cease to be a flock. What they do is they wander around, they wander off in all directions. You know what happens when sheep start to wander off? They become easy prey for predators. God's chosen people here, as you know in the New Testament, have been under 2 different nations' captivities, Babylonian captivity and Assyrian captivity. They've been scattered, really, in all parts of the known world at that time. And they were prey, folks, in those different places for all manner of religious philosophies. Even those men who claimed to be their shepherds, men of God, you know what? They were deluded men. They were entirely more concerned with the religious traditions than with divine truth. Entirely more convinced. And so the Lord Jesus, when he saw these people, he saw something, folks, in them. More than just people who were needy. He saw that they were sheep, not having a shepherd. Folks, can I encourage you something? There are people just like that all around this city. There are people just like that in Clayton, North Carolina, right outside Raleigh. Folks, they're there. People all around, folks, are as sheep, and they have no shepherd. Folks, you and I have the privilege of serving the chief shepherd. We have that opportunity. And it can be our, we should be. God wants to use us to bring people into his fold. That's a great privilege that we have. But many times, if all we're concerned with is ourselves, our own need for a vacation, our own need to rest, then sometimes we'll miss an opportunity to be a blessing and to impact this world for Jesus Christ. Rest is necessary, absolutely. But rest is secondary. It was secondary to what the Lord Jesus saw. It was secondary, number two, to what he felt. The Bible says in verse 34, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them." What the Lord Jesus saw moved his heart to have compassion on those people. The Lord's heart, folks, went out to those lost sheep of the house of Israel and even to the other people. The Bible says that he went in other cities, people that were Jew and Gentile, that were sheep, that were not of the Lord Jesus' fold. The Lord, folks, had determined that he would be their shepherd. And so the Bible says in verse 34 that he taught them, quote, many things. It took a long time, by the way, to teach them. The Bible says that when the day was far spent, that's a long time teaching, but the Lord Jesus, it probably flew by for him. He loved those people enough to invest his life in them, even when he himself was tired. Even when his assistant pastors, so to speak, were tired, he was convinced that he needed to meet with those people. The Bible says in Jude 22, "And if some have compassion, making a difference." You know, we talk about making a difference, impacting this world for the cause of Jesus Christ. Folks, you know how it's going to happen? Have compassion on them. Realize that people can be annoying, but they're not really. They're sinners who just need to know that Jesus Christ can save them. You say, "Will all receive it?" Nope. Mark chapter 6 tells you that. Even your friends and family often won't receive it. In Mark chapter 6, early we noted that the Lord Jesus told them that when they don't receive you, here's how you react, right? But just stay faithful. Don't quit. Rest is secondary to what the Lord saw, to what he felt. Number three, to what he had. Notice this. The Bible says in verse 37, "And he answered them and said unto them, Give ye them to eat." Telling his disciples this, of course. "They say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. When they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. You know, when the disciples saw the demand, most of us are familiar with the concept of supply and demand. My dad is here tonight, and he taught us that very, very early on. Supply and demand. Here, when the disciples saw the demand that the people had, thousands and thousands of people. The Bible tells us later in Mark chapter 6, it was 5,000 men. We don't know how many women and children, but quite a few, no doubt. That's a demand of many, many thousands of people. By the way, they're in a desert. The disciples were convinced that this need was completely beyond their capacity to meet. And you know what? They were right. What they failed to evaluate, however, was the supply that Jesus Christ always brings to any situation. Supply and demand. They had the demand. The Lord Jesus had the supply. They started looking around and say, you know what, if we had 200 penny worth of bread, we can't even begin to meet this need. Lord Jesus says, how many loaves have ye? They're probably thinking, what difference does it make? What difference does it make how many loaves you have? We got a little lad here with a light lunch, and you're going to do something with that? I mean, think about it. The Lord Jesus did. Go and see, how many do you have? The Lord Jesus met the need that day, folks. And it was in spite of everything that people would have thought about the situation. You know how long it would take to break 5 loaves and 2 fishes apart enough to feed conservatively 15,000 people? I think it would take a long, long time. He's been teaching all day, and now you know what he's going to do for the next 3 hours? He's going to break bread and break fish. But he was willing to do it. Folks, in spite of what he had, the Lord Jesus worked a miracle. The disciples may not have had the funds to meet the need. They might have not even had the food to meet the need. But neither of those things are ever a limitation to our Lord. Rest is necessary. Absolutely. But rest is secondary to what God has called us to do. I want to say this, number three, and finally tonight. Rest is elementary. Say, what do you mean by that, Brother Charlie? What I mean is it's simple. It's not difficult at all. Notice what the Lord says in verse 31 of Mark chapter 6. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Rest is elementary. Can I say this about rest? First of all, folks, it's not a place. You know, the Bible says, come yourselves apart into a desert place. You know, if the Lord Jesus was a travel agent, you would fire him if that's what he came and told you. Come ye yourselves apart to a desert place and rest a while. If I was there, if I was Simon Peter, I'm sure he was thinking it, probably should have said it. What are you talking about, Lord? A desert place? You know, I've been on quite a few vacations. I'm technically on one right now. I've never thought about going to a desert on vacation. Doesn't sound good. I've been to a desert before. I remember it being pretty desolate. Difficult. You know, it's hot. It's sticky. There's not a whole lot of people there. You know why? Because it's not really that hot of a vacation spot. Desert. Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. You know, wouldn't it be strange, folks, if you were there with the Sea of Galilee right there, a beautiful place. Maybe Jerusalem, a lot of exciting things going on in Jerusalem, perhaps. A lot of things there available to him. I'm sure a lot of beautiful spots. And he says, you know what, guys, let's go to the desert. That's where I want a vacation. Folks, the truth is, no one thinks that the desert is all that great of a vacation spot. But folks, the rest that was in that desert place was not because of the desert place. It was because of the Lord Jesus. Folks, rest is not a place. Can I say this? Rest, number two, is not a position. I had you turn to Matthew chapter 11. If you would, please look at that. Matthew chapter 11. Read just three verses. Hold your place there, if you would, in Mark chapter 6. Matthew 11, in verse 28. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, another thing that you and I generally associate with a vacation, not only is a different place than where you are right now, that's what most of us do. I mean, Southwest Airlines, you know what their motto is? Want to get away? The idea is you got to get somewhere else than where you are right now. That's not what the Bible says about rest. But another thing we often associate with it is really a lack of activity or an absence of activity, at least as it relates to work. You know, we often encourage coworkers, and people will encourage you when you're on vacation, not to take your work home with you or with you while you're on vacation. Some people will turn off their cell phone while they're on vacation. I mean, the idea is, right, you can't rest and work at the same time. But I have a question. Can you? The Lord Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know what we associate with a yoke? That's hard work. That's plowing. That's a difficult day's work. Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, I will give you rest. There's the promise. You know what you do with that rest? He says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Well, which is it, Lord? Is it rest or is it the yoke? And the answer is, it's both. It's both. Folks, rest is not a place, nor is it a position or a lack of activity. Folks, what rest is what our text says in verse 31. Mark chapter 6 and verse 31, where the Bible says, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. It's the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Psalm 37:7, the psalmist says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Folks, the Bible says in Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Wish I could do that. They shall walk and not faint. How does it happen? Wait on the Lord. Folks, rest is not found in another spot than where you are right now. It's not found in a lack of activity necessarily. What it is it's found in the person of Jesus Christ. It's found in him. Seek peace, seek rest in him, folks, and you'll be able to continue on with what God has called you to do. Folks, this is a great church. There is no doubt about it. My people at Raleigh are already sick of hearing me talk about Beacon Baptist Church and Pastor Blaylock. They're sick of it, I'm sure. But you know what? We all can get weary in well-doing. But you don't have to quit. You can reap, the Bible says, if you faint not. Just stay faithful. Say, how do you do it? Does that mean you never, ever let something go? No, I'm not saying that. Rest is necessary. Sometimes we need a break. But make it secondary in your life. If you're always looking out for yourself and your needs and your vacation and your rest and your spirit, folks, can I tell you something? That's a rather selfish way to live the Christian life. My uncle's life saying or his motto or whatever is, a life spent on others is a life well spent. Rest is necessary, but rest is secondary. By the way, rest is elementary. It's pretty simple. Not a place. It's not a position. It's a person. Find Jesus Christ. Find His will for your life. Make sure you make that a priority. And can I tell you something, folks? You won't be weary in well-doing. By the way, you'll reap. You'll reap one day. Where the Bible says, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves don't break through nor steal. What a promise. Folks, that is a real investment plan right there. Just start investing in eternity, and you'll have a whole lot happier life here on this earth. May God help us always to be faithful to do it. Father, we thank you again for your word, for how it speaks to our hearts, for the practical lessons that it teaches. Lord, I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for what they mean to me, what they mean to my family. We pray, Lord, that you'll always help this to be a place, Lord, that is accomplishing many things for you, but understands, Lord, that sometimes you have to take a break, take a breath, but Lord, don't quit. Help us never to quit, but to always be faithful. We're thankful so much for your faithfulness to us. Please help us today, for we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Good job, Charlie. And God's people said, amen. Amen. I was thinking of God's prophet, the man of God, for all the reasons Brother Charlie just mentioned in this message, was greatly discouraged and found himself under a juniper tree. And this great man of faith, who had just seen God work miracles and protect and defend him, asked God to take his life. It's better than I not even be. He lost his faith. He lost his hope. He said he was self-pity. He says, I'm the only one. Nobody else is serving you nearly. And you know, instead of the Lord rebuking him, chastising him, coming down upon him, he simply gave him food, had the ravens bring some food, caused him to go to sleep, gave him some rest, and encouraged him. And then when he was strengthened, he gave him a word of rebuke. And he went on to serve the Lord. And so this message, tremendous, I think, if we apply it correctly and not, you know, the lazy bones in here say, oh, I'm so glad I got an excuse to be lazy. Dylan, don't do that. Right? No, not Dylan at all. That was awesome. Glad you're saved. Let's stand together, shall we? Brother Sam is going to close in prayer when he says amen, fellowship for a while. And again, see Danica and Victor if you have any questions about hosting a family, all right? God bless you, Brother Sam.